Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. Now, we're talking about why don't we have the demonstration of the dunamis power of God, the dynamite power of God that Jesus said would come on us when we receive the Holy Spirit. Why don't we have that manifest? Well, one of the reasons is we've been too unholy. We are the temples of the living God. The Holy Ghost is to live in us. And God said to us in the New Testament in Corinthians, come apart, separate from the unclean. Now, I just referred to this yesterday, and it's when Israel went into captivity, their first temple was destroyed. Ezekiel gives the reason why, God through Ezekiel in chapter 22 and 26. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean. And they have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. We have to teach young people. We have to, in our own lives, have a difference between the profane, the common, the ordinary, and the holy. I came home one time in our church in Collinsville. They had decorated the nursery with Disney characters. And I came in that nursery and I said, get these off the wall. They can go to the movies and see Snow White. They can go to the movies and see these things, but this is not what they see at church. We don't want them to mix up Snow White, Cinderella, and Disney, which later did broomsticks and whatever and turned to the very old cult. We don't want them to mix that up with the power of God. We have to keep the power pure. We have to keep our lives pure. There are reasons why we don't have it. We can't just be acting like the world. Now, Ezekiel 44:23 is talking about the future, the millennium. And it says that there in the temple that Ezekiel's temple is called, actually the Messiah will build it. And there all the nations of the earth, the sheep nations, will come up and they will learn in Jerusalem. And it says, they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and profane and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. We have to discern between it. We can't mix it all up. We can't have things going on in our churches that are just exactly like they're going on in the world and expect to have the dunamis power of God. Now, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about Sister Woodworth Etter. I have a book that was written about her by Wayne Warner. Wayne Warner was, I think he's retired now, but he was the historian, the archives keeper at the Assemblies of God, and I knew him and I liked him and got many things from him about Wigglesworth and other things. But he did a book about Sister Woodworth Etter because he was just enamored by her power in her ministry. She was a woman preacher before there were very many women preachers. In the 1880s, she began. And I want you to notice this that he wrote in his book. It is doubtful whether even Moody and Fenney had any more impact than Woodworth did in any given area. It is difficult to understand now, 125 years after Woodworth burst on the scene, why many historians overlook the impact Woodworth made on both the Christian church and the unchurched people. Unless one reads a Pentecostal church history, it isn't likely Woodworth's name will be found. Some church historians have never even heard of her. Others perhaps have read about her but discount the report simply because she was a woman or she was a charismatic. She may be ignored now by historians, but people in every walk of life during the latter part of the 19th century had little doubt about the impact of her ministry, and that impact deserves a careful examination. Sister Woodworth Etter, the books that I sell, Duell, and Dr. Edwin Orr, who is one of the, they don't mention her. Now, it could be because they didn't, she was a woman. Or it also could be, as he said, because she saw the Holy Ghost power, even tongues, even before the Holy Ghost fell in 1901 there in Parham's meetings. So she was called by God in a very unusual way, and he had to, because she was a married woman with children, and he kept giving her he kept giving her visions and calls, and she didn't know what to do. She was fearful because she was a woman. She lacked a formal education and theological training. But the Lord showed her a vision, many visions. One of them was a large open Bible and verses standing out in raised type. Jesus said to me, "Go and I will be with you." I cried, she said, "Lord, I will go. Where shall I go?" And Jesus said, "Go here, go there, go where souls are perishing." I think the Lord must have known that she would go with him and she would go with his power. You see, we can't do anything without the power. And she dared to believe him, for that. "I saw," she said, "that I must not depend on anything that I could do, but I had to look to him for strength and wisdom, not by power, might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord." I was to be the vessel of clay God was going to use to his own glory. I was to be a mouthpiece. I must trust God to speak through me to the people the words of life. Seemingly, the more Woodworth resisted the call of God on her life, the more intensely the call came. She wrote that God gave her many visions of people in need and others in hell. Yet she continued to resist the call for months and even years. And being outside the will of God for her life, the enemy was able to kill her children. And after the death of her fifth child in 1880, when she was about 35 years old, she settled the call upon her life. She described it as similar to the Apostle Paul's on the Damascus Road. Her call was in Damascus, Ohio. She saw visions, and she saw another vision. She saw angels come into her room, and they took her to the west over prairies, lakes, forests, and rivers. She saw a long, wide field of waving golden grain. Then she began to preach in the vision and saw the grain begin to fall in sheaves, similar to Ezekiel's vision. She told this vision often, and that Christ spoke to her as the grain began to fall, explaining that just as the grain was falling in the vision, so would people fall as she preached. Later, when people fell prostrate in her meetings, she said the Lord spoke to her with the meaning of this earlier vision. "Sister, don't you remember the vision about the grain?" Through the series of visions and calls, and I'm reading from Wayne Warner's book, through the series of visions and calls, Woodworth knew she could not be happy nor please the Lord unless she yielded. Without formal training, though, she knew she needed divine help. Now here's a key. I'm going to read you a sentence that I believe is a key. We who believe in the word of faith, we who know its truth, we who believe in the authority of the believer, we must also believe in faith for the power, the dunamis power, to operate in us. She, as was written here, she resisted for years, and he gave her vision after vision. But she knew she couldn't do it without divine help. So she asked God for the power he gave the Galilean fisherman to anoint her for service. This was a hallmark of her ministry. She asked God for the power. Before she ever started, she said, "Lord, I don't have anything. I can't do it. I ask you for the power you gave the Galilean fisherman to anoint me for service. I came like a child asking for bread. I looked for it. God did not disappoint me," she testified. Always quick with symbolic language, Woodworth described her experience as the power of the Holy Ghost appearing in a bright cloud came upon me. It was brighter than the sun. I was covered and wrapped up in it. My body was light as the air. It seemed that heaven came down. I was baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire and power which has never left me. Oh, praise the Lord. There was liquid fire, and the angels were all around in the fire and glory. It is through the Lord Jesus Christ and by this power that I have stood before hundreds of thousands of men and women proclaiming the unsearchable riches of Christ. Woodworth had resisted the call to preach long enough. Now she was ready to go. She had asked God for the power. And the power then began to manifest in her life. I'm going to talk more about this next week, but I want to talk about one of the meetings that she had, in which she went to a place that was so cold. They had invited her to come to the Methodist church. This was not long after she had surrendered to preach. And she asked God when she got there. That Methodist church was so cold. And she knew that the only thing that could happen was a manifestation of the power. And so it says in the book that she asked five people to pray with her. And these five people prayed with her. Here it is. It was in spiritually. I'm found it here in his book. The Methodist church was as cold as the January weather, the one that had invited her. It had drifted into formalism, and some of the members were even skeptics. She knew that without the Holy Spirit moving in an unusual manner, nothing would be accomplished. Her battle plan was simple. She asked five people to join her in prayer. They prayed that God would display his power and that the sinners in the town and surrounding area would know God's reality and that a strong conviction of coming judgment would grip the people. One way this would happen, that most dramatic and effective in Woodworth's opinion, would be the trance experience. So they prayed that believers and sinners alike might fall as dead men, that the slain of the Lord might be many. She would actually go into a meeting and set a parameter. She would pray that the power of God would manifest in a 40-mile radius, and it would. And people would fall, especially those who had been skeptics about the meeting and had criticized her. Trains passing through the area. People would fall on the trains under the power and become like sticks of deadwood. And the conductors would say, "There's a Woodworth Edder meeting close by." And they would carry them on gurneys to the meeting, and she would touch them, and they would wake up and admit that it was the power of God. She said, and we're going to talk about it next week, that it's God's will to demonstrate his dunamis. He said so. That if we will it and ask for it, God will give it. So I'm preaching it here. I believe we can come to willing it and asking for it and seeing it manifest to an awakening of the people to the power of God. Call us for Woodworth Edder's book, Signs and Wonders. Call us at 1-800-972-3447 and read her journals in her own words about the manifestation of the power of God. This is Billy Brim saying, Shabbat Shalom.